Tes Zion Tammuz, Friday the 22nd of July, Rabbi Shimon Kaplan, on a parasha theme.
Before I start, wasn't the story a person wasn't feeling well for many months. He went to the regular doctors, they couldn't sort him out. He went to a big specialist and he examined him. They couldn't work out what the problem was. He was baffled. Then he said, I know what it is. The last 6 months, were you ever meant to give a drosha at the simcha? You expect to be called upon to speak and you never gave it. He thought back, said, yes, about 8 months ago he was at a wedding. He was meant to speak, he was all ready. And I never called him up. He said, that's what it is, you've got a drosha stuck inside you. He says, what's the medication for such a condition? He says, very simple, you give the drosha now. So he called in some nurses, and he stood up, they said, Chosn Kala, Bukhutonim. He gave the drosha, he finished the drosha. He asked him, are you feeling better? He said, I haven't felt this for 8 months. Doctor, they want all that rubbish inside you. No wonder you felt so bad. The truth is, last night, I went to Shabbat Baruch, and I was asked to speak in the beginning of the week. I've got no time to anyone. And I was sitting there the whole evening, and I wasn't called upon to speak. I don't want to have any problems later on. So I'm just going to tell you the small vort I was going to say. I racked my brains to connect Chosn Kala to Parshas Bolok. If you don't mind, if you can just listen for 3-4 minutes to the vort I was going to say, I should feel better. So Chosn Kala, the Parsha starts off, Vayah Bolok Betzipper has Kolash Os Yisrael Le'amayri. The Torah doesn't tell us who Bolok Betzipper was. Was he a civil servant, a minister, a general, a gangster? There's no mention what his position was. In the third pasuk, it says, Ubolak Mitzipa Melech Lamoyo Beisahi. Suddenly the Torah tells us what his position was. So the question is, why didn't the Torah start off Ayah Bolak Mitzipa, who was the Melech Moyov? Poshta Kasha. So Chaim says a Gewaldi Gewalt. I want to explain it with a story. The Yitzchak Zilberstein said that he once was unable to attend a chasna of a Talmud, a close Talmud. He thought the least he could do after their marriage was go and visit them. So straight after they were married, he went to visit them, he knocked on their door in Bnei Brak. He's welcomed into a very simple, sparsely furnished dira. And he comes into the dining room, again sparsely furnished, a simple table, simple chairs, wooden chairs. And he gets a shock. He sees the chosn sitting on a throne. An ornate throne. Red velvet, gold edgings. And he couldn't contain himself. And he asked the chosn, was this a chosn present? Never know. He said, no. He said, what's pshat in this golden throne? He says he took the chosn money and he bought himself a throne. He said, why? What on earth for? Zokta, the Rambam says that a wife's supposed to be mechaber the husband like a melech. In order to make it easier for her to be mechaber me like a melech, I bought this beautiful throne. So he told the chosn, you're making a big mistake. If you want your wife to mechaber you like a melech, you treat her like a queen, you behave like a melech. A melech is someone who looks after his subjects, then she'll treat you like a king. By buying a nice throne, you're not going to get any respect you expect from your wife. So Reb Chaim Brisk, there are many people in charge of countries around the world. North Korea, you have a Meshuggah Nadalton, who treats those millions of subjects that he has like dirt. For dictators, there are people in control of countries. They don't behave the way a king should behave. A king is pshat that he looks after his subjects, he cares about them. That is the title, that's when a person is worthy of being given the title king. So Reb Chaim, the fact he was in charge of Moav didn't make him into a king. He didn't deserve the title king unless he showed concern, he cared about his subjects. So the Torah starts off, Yav Bolak Ben Tzipor. But when the Torah says that he was worried about what's going to happen to his people, Klal Yisrael might come and destroy them, might displace them. When he was concerned about his subjects, that's when the Torah gives the title Melech. In the third pasuk, the Torah finishes off with Baruch Mitzvah Melech Lomoy Beis Ha'i. And that's what's going to tell the Chosn Kala last night. If you want Chosn's Doimel Melech, it's not just a title given, you've got to behave like a Melech, and then the Kala will give you respect, like the respect that's due to a Melech. So that was last night's drosha, just to make me feel better. Right. Right, today's drosha is also on Parshas Balak, but a different subject. When we go through the Parsha, I remember as a child in school, feeling slightly sorry for Balak. Bilam, he wants to go and curse Klal Yisrael. Akshpogel tells him not to go, he doesn't go. Short while later, he gets permission to go. Very good fellow, he doesn't go when he's not allowed to go, and he goes with permission. And the Torah tells us, when Akshpogel saw him going, Vayicha'af, Akshpogel got annoyed, Kihoyluch, that he went, but he totally let him go. So what was wrong? What did he do so bad? He was given permission to go, and he went. So why Vayicha'af Hashem Kihoyluchu? The Malach said to him, Ki oyscha rakti. Was it the Chamoir? Sorry? The Malach. Ki oyscha rakti. The Malach, yeah. Ki oyscha rakti. And the Ramban says he was chayv nisa chet godl choto Bilam. Bilam did a tremendous aveira by going. But Akshpoch gave him permission. What was the aveira? What did he do wrong? It's one question. Another question, we all know the famous Chazal, Rashi brings it, when the Chamoir complained, you've hit me three times, he said, Sholosh Regolim, instead of Sholosh Pa'omim. And Chazal tell us that he was trying to be meramez to Bilam, that you're trying to destroy a nation that are going to be Oyle Regel three times a year. And the question is, Klal Yisrael go to do many mitzvahs. Why is this mitzvah singled out as being a Tainon Bilam? How can you go to try and destroy a nation that are going to be Oyle Regel three times a year? Very difficult question. What's Pshat Nis Chazal? What does it mean? When we read this Sedra, I'm sure you all notice there's no mitzvah in this Sedra. The Chinuch writes, in Parshas Pinchas there's so many mitzvahs, in Parshas Chukah so many mitzvahs, Parshas Balak, say the Balak ain't boy mitzvah. There's no mitzvah in Parshas Balak. So why is the Torah telling us whole long Parshas Balak? We have a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, a person could behave like the Talmidim of Bilam HaRosha. He could be considered the Talmud of Bilam HaRosha. Chazal are telling us, if a person behaves in a certain way, he's considered the Talmud of Bilam HaRosha. So this Parsha is the Parsha which is teaching us how not to behave. And the Torah is very marach in this Parsha to teach us not to be like Bilam. Like the Torah is marach in the Parshas of the Ovis. As the Mishnah says, we should be mitalmidov shel Avraham Avinu. So the Torah is marach here, trying to tell us how not to behave. So really it's a choyva mutal aleinu. We're responsible to try and learn this Parsha and find out which nekudas are the nekudas where Bilam went wrong, why he was this chayav misa, why he was considered to have made such a chet gadol. That's a choyva mutal aleinu to learn this Parsha, because we've got to learn from this Parsha how not to behave. The Gemara of Basra, Dafyud, the Gemara says, sometimes Klal Yisrael are called children. Bonim atav l'Hashem elekeichem. Sometimes Klal Yisrael are called avodim. When are they called children? When are they called avodim? So after Gemara, b'zman she'oisim ratzayin shel makoyim, when they do rotzen Hashem, they're called bonim. B'zman she'ein atav oisim ratzayin shel makoyim, when they don't do rotzen Hashem, they're called avodim. And the obvious question is, if they're not doing Rotzen Hashem, why are they called Avodim? They're not even Avodim. When they're doing Rotzen Hashem, they're called Bonim, children. If they don't do what Akshpoch wants, they're not even called Avodim. Why are they called Avodim? Why are they deserving of the title Eved if they're not doing what their master wants? Rabbi Lapin explained this with a moshel. A person walks into a shop Erev Pesach, even in his times, the shops were busy, people coming and going buying, as nowadays, the shops hire extra help for the pre-Yontov business. And he walks into a shop and he sees a boy sitting in the corner. In those days, it wasn't computerized, and every time the cashier took money for the purchases of a customer, they would write it down and give him this slip of paper, and he would write down in the book in the ledger, and eventually the shop owner would know how much money came in that day, make sure everything was correct. So he was sitting in the corner amid the chaos in the shop, and every few minutes he wrote down another till receipt. In between writing the till receipts, he was twiddling his thumbs, waiting for the next person to bring him a slip of paper. The person goes to the next shop. He comes in the next shop and he sees a boy the same age. He's also writing out the till receipts. But this boy, between writing the till receipts, he's looking what needs to be done. There's a shelf that needs stacking. There's a customer needs helping with the shopping outside. He's busy. He's running. He's not wasting a second. So this person asks a local, what's the difference between these two boys? Why is one not wasting a second, the other twiddling his thumbs most of the time? It's very simple. The boy in the first shop is a worker, an employee. He was paid to write out the till receipts. When there's nothing to do, there's nothing to do. He sits and waits for the next till receipt. The boy in the second shop, he's a son of the owner. It's the family business. He cares about the business. When he's not writing out a till receipt, he wants to see what needs to be done. He's busy the whole time. It's his business. It's his father's business. He's benefiting from it. It's a different way of working when it's good to have a profit share in a business. It makes the employees work harder. They feel they're working for themselves. So, Rebellia, that's pshat in the Chazal. There are two ways of working for someone. You can keep to the letter of the law, to the contract, or you can go that extra mile. There's doing the letter of the law and doing the spirit of the law, keeping the spirit of the law. When Klal Yisrael wants to do Rotzen Hashem, then they're called Bonim, they're children. Bonim Atem Hashem Elokeichem. They're not interested in Rotzen Hashem. All they're interested is in keeping the letter of the law. Then they're Kriyam Avodim. They're doing what Akshmoko told them to do. They're not keeping the spirit of the law. The Rotzen Hashem. That is deserving of a title only of Avodim. That's what Rebellion said, Pshat in that Gemara. I remember hearing once a story, a Bocha came to Ramosha Halberstam. Erev Sukkot, people spend many days buying an esrog. In Brisk, they spend a long time buying an esrog. They say, but a Bosher Eli Zalain Gesund once said to a Bocher, spent a long time buying an esrog. He said, my esrog is also Mahuda. In der esrog, nicht doch ein bisschen teurer. That's what he said. I'm not sure the Briskers were very happy with that comment. But with the story was about a boy. If he wouldn't be looking for an esrog, he wouldn't be learning either. It's Ben Azmanim. He'd be touring the country. And he came to Ramosha Halberstam, and he said to Ramosha Halberstam, is it a right for him to buy esrog in a closed box? You can buy a closed box esrog, which has got a hechsher, it's been checked, it's kosher. It's like a lucky dip. Sometimes you're lucky, you get a good one. Sometimes it's not so nice. Is it right for me to go and buy an esrog in a closed box? Moshe Halberstam said to him, hope you appreciate this thought. At our age, we don't think this way. He said to this bocher, a teenager, if you buy your Borsalina hat in a closed box, you can buy an esrog in a closed box. That's what he said to him. If you ever go into the shops in Yishalayim or Bnei Brak, into the hat shop there, and you see how many piles of hats the teenagers try on before they decide which one is fitting, you'll never see a boy walk in there and says, give me a hat size 56. And the fellow walks over to 56, here's a hat. Borsalina here, take it. Says, right, here's the credit card. Enough, he walks. No, the hat's got to fit. It's got to look perfect. It's got to have no scratch in it. It's got to be just right. So he said so cleverly to this boy, if you buy your Borsalina hat in a closed box, you buy an esrog in a closed box. When it comes to your Borsalina hat, you try and you spend half an hour in the shop. When it comes to Akshmoko's esrog, It's not just a matter of getting a kosher esrog. You've got to make sure, if that's the way you do it and look after your own things, when it comes to Akshvokh, you've got to try and do rotz l'Hashem. It's not just getting a kosher esrog. Akshvokh wants to have a nice esrog. Put time and effort into it. Don't just buy it in the clothes box. So Rabbi Chana Wasserman, in Kuntos Divrei Soferim, he writes, this is Bilam's problem. What did Bilam say? Lo uchal la'avoyres pi Hashem. I cannot transgress the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't let me go, I cannot go. Lo uchal la'avoyres pi Hashem. Was he interested in what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants? Bilam was a great man in his understanding of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. B'shas Matan Torah, when the whole world didn't know what was going on, they came to Bilam, he said, Hashem oiz la'am yitain, ein oiz la Torah. Bilam was a Novi. Like Kombi Yisrael, Novi Kemoisha, Chazal tell us, but Umas Oilem had a Novi called Bilam. He was a very great Novi. Le'uchel la'avoyres pi Hashem, I can't transgress the words of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Did he care what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted? No. He didn't care about rocks and Hashem. As Rashi says, Shmuel says, don't curse them. Don't go with them. So he thought to himself, I won't go, but I'll curse them from here. No, don't even curse them from here. Okay, I'll do this. Shmuel knows what he's thinking. But he's trying to also always circumvent the law. He's trying to circumvent the law. And that is, ain't oisim retzoyin shel mokim. It's like a child that wants to go somewhere. You tell him no 16 times. Until you're fed up because he asks you again. He says, okay, Yankala, just go. When the child goes, the child knows you don't want him to go. And the father sees the child going off with a big smile. Of course the father's upset. I gave you permission, but you know I didn't want you to go. Derech she'odom reitzeleilech melech noisai. HaKadosh didn't want him to go. Derech she'odom reitzeleilech melech noisai. HaKadosh eventually gave him permission, but Bilam knew HaKadosh didn't want him to go. That's vayicha af Hashem ki hoylechu. That's the tain on Bilam. That's what the Ramban says. Chet godul chato Bilam. The Malach said, ki oischa ragdi ischaiv misa. His dargo of nevuah, he should have known better. He should have done better. It's been a tain of Bilam. A greater tainer. It's not fitting that you only care about pi Hashem. Your stature, you should be much more willing to do rots in Hashem than pi Hashem. It's not about the letter of the law, it's about the spirit of the law. That is how Rav Chanan explains the chet of Bilam. When the Chazal tell us, don't be from a Talmid of Shabila Marosha, that's what they mean. We're not supposed to be Talmid of Shabila Marosha. Everybody according to their Madrega, speaking about myself, you walk into a shul, and you see the signpost always, the two Zman Kriya Shema. We always tend to look at the bottom line first, in the summer months when the first Zman is very early, you know. That's the area we've got to work on the Rotzen Hashem, not just the Pi Hashem. But also the Chet from Bilam. So I once heard a Gevaldig Pshat from Robert Sand from Gateshead. He said, "Yamodig Pshat. Why did the ass say Sholosh Regolim? Why did he choose that mitzvah? You want to be Oikar Uma Hachegega Sholosh Regolim Bashana." He said, "The Gevaldig Pshat. The Tashbaz writes, God La Pella. Those are his words. Meshech Chochma brings it. It's unbelievable that three times a year people would leave their homes and travel to Yerushalayim to boil a regal. Especially people living in border towns, leaving their wives and children on their own. There was a possibility of an attack from a neighboring state. And people would go three times a year and be oiler regel. But a gewaldige mesiras nefesh, betochen, of course the Torah writes, v'leyachpos ishes alzecha, v'aloyscha liros pnei Hashem elekecha. The Torah does promise us nothing bad will happen to us when we go to be oiler regel. But Chazal promised us many things, and we also find it hard. It's a madrega. Hatzos bonov l'talmud Torah, school fees, and Hatzos Shabbos and Yontif don't come into the equation of how much a person earns every year. It's still a big nesayon to try and negotiate or try and get the best deal. It's always so easy to be maimon and live al pi the mamore Chazal. And even though the Torah says le'yach b'sishus hatzecha, it's a gebaldiger nesayon. The Tashbaz the Rishon writes, God la pella, it's unbelievable that they went three times a year to be oiler regel, leaving their borders unguarded, their families unguarded, their property and possessions unguarded. It was a gewaldig in a sign. Lemaisa, it's very easy to get out of the mitzvah legally. The Gemara tells us in Pesachim Daf Chesamid Beis, if a person doesn't own karka, he's not mechuyev to be oyel regel. Midaraisa, you could be mafkir your possessions without anybody knowing about it. Bein de bein atzmo. Tosis midrabon, you have to do it in front of people. Midaraisa, you can stand in your bedroom, lock the door and the windows, you definitely don't want anybody to hear this, and you say, I'm mafkir all my nechosim. You now own no karka. That makes you pot of being oyel regel. You've got no chiyuv to be oyel regel. You could do that every single yontif, and after yontif, you go and make kinyan chazaka on your karka, and kinyan akbo on your matalta, and you can make reclaim everything that you'll be mafkir. And that way, you can avoid the chiyuv of oyel regel. You can avoid it. And Klal Yisrael didn't do that. They weren't following the letter of the law. They wanted to keep the spirit of the law. The spirit of the law meaning, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to see us. He wants to see us in the Beis HaMikdash. We're not trying to get out of it. That's what the ass said to Bilam. You Bilam, you're going. You're going to be Mekalel Klal Yisrael. You know HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want it. But all you are interested in the letter of the law. But you don't care about the spirit of the law. Says the Ass to Bilam. You're trying to destroy a nation that do care about the spirit of the law. The Oysim Ratzoy Nishal Mokoyim. The Bonim Atam Lashem Elekeichem. You're going to get a chance. You, which do not care about Rotz Hashem, how do you even think you're going to go and be Mekalel nation that care about Rotz Hashem? That was what the Ass was telling Bilam. You've got no hope of being successful. That's the connection between Sholosh Regolim and Bilam. So this parsha is really a parsha which teaches us, I mean, Odin HaMokim about doing Rotz Hashem. There's also Rotz Hashem and Odin HaChaveir. There's such beautiful Gemara, so many different stories in various Gemaras which tell us this same concept of Odin HaChaveir. There's a Gemara in Baba Kama, Daf Tzadik Tes. Gemara brings a story. Should have made them or someone else. The moral is a story that there were porters waiting at the dock for some work. And one of them, Aroim, oh, here it is. More about Matzia. Story in Surah. A person had a barrel of wine delivered by boat to the docks, and he asked some porters to take the wine to his home. And he warned the porters, the wine's very expensive, be very careful not to damage the barrel of wine. And these porters tried very hard not to damage it, but as they came towards the house, they tripped, the barrel fell, the wine spilt. So the employer said to them, give me your simla, give me your clothes as payment. He had no money. He said, first pay me, because I've got no money. He said, give me your clothes, give me your simla, give me your overcoat. They were reluctant to do so, and they came in front of Rav. And Rav said to them, they're poor people, don't take away their clothes. Leave them with their clothes. And he expected the porters to be happy, and the porters looked very upset. So he asked the porters, why you're upset? Zok de Gemara, they said to him, because we worked for a few hours. How are we going to feed our families? Because now we're not going to get paid for the job we did. So he told the employer to pay them. Go and pay them for the time they put into it. Pay them. So he asked, why should I pay them? He said, if they mishur sadin. What? Din hochi? He said, yeah, is that the din? He said, no, the din's not so. The din is not so, but pay them if they mishur sadin. The Gemara Baba Kama brings another story. An almana came to an Amira who was an expert in coins. In those days there were many coins counterfeit which you couldn't use, and there weren't regular people weren't able to see the difference. There were experts, and this Amira was an expert. He was an Oman, he was a mumcha, and he looked at the coins as a good coin. So this almana sold her merchandise and took this coin from the purchaser. A few days later they realized it was a false coin, it wasn't a proper coin. And she came back to the Amira. And the Amira told his Gabba, go and pay her. reimburse her for a loss. Again, the din of that the din? It's not the din. I'm potter because I'm a mumcha. But lifnim mishur says, "Go and pay her. Go and pay her." Says the Gemara that we learn out from a posuk that voidato is a posuk, but the posuk teaches us voidato them, and that posuk we learn out that there's a chiyah for a person to go lifnim mishur sadin. Even if we don't owe a person, or we don't need to really pay them alpidin, but there's a lefnim eshur sadin, there's a rotz nashem, it's a madrega, we've got to strive to that. There's a madrega of lefnim eshur sadin. To go beyond the letter of the law. I remember once travelling with someone, a choshvayid, in a taxi in Yerushalayim, a very short journey, and when we came to our destination, we hadn't agreed on a price beforehand. And he said 8 shekel in those days. And I knew this Choshvid was from Chutz Laaretz, that it was double what it should be. It should have been 4 shekel. So I whispered to him, it's much more than it's supposed to be. Maybe try and get it at 6 or 5. See, he shushed me and he gave the fellow the 8 shekel. And when he came out, I'll never forget what he said, Edaf Ochemachem Parnosser. He also needs to make Parnosser. Of course, it's not always the Din Ochi. It's not always about what the din is. It's about Rotz Hashem. What does Akshpoch want from us? And a person won't lose out by doing the Fnimish Rosh Hadin. Akshpoch doesn't let a person lose out. But that's the limit from this long parsha. It's a parsha which the Chinuch writes, say the bollock, ein boy mitzvah. But we're supposed to learn it, to learn how not to behave like Bilam, not to be Metamidah Shabilam Arasha. And the Nakuda we spoke about today, that of course there are many Nakudas, is the Nakuda that Bilam Arasha said, Le'uchel Lavres Pi Hashem. That was the way he served HaKadosh Baruch Hu, according to the letter of the law. And the tine on him was, it's not about keeping the letter of the law, it's about keeping the spirit of the law. And that's where he went wrong. That's why he's Chayav Misa. And we try and keep the spirit of the law, we become Mitamid Shel Avraham Avinu, Vayachvish is Chamoyroi, Avraham Avinu B'Shas Da'akeda, when he's told not to Shech Yitzhak, he says, V'altas Le'Mu'ma, Chazal tell us, he wanted to do something. He was so desperate to do what Akshpocha wants. Rotz Hashem. He felt he's been stopped from doing what Akshpocha commanded him. Maybe Akshpocha does want him to do something. Atas Le'Mu'ma, that's what Tamid Shavar Avinu. It's not about the Pi Hashem, it's about Rotz Hashem. And that's the limud from this parsha. That's the limud. It's not about the letter of the law, it's all about the spirit of the law.